Thank you. All right. That's a good-looking crowd this morning. Praise the Lord. Great to see you. I brought a Bible this morning. How many of you brought a Bible? That's what I figured. One of the wonderful ways to gauge change has to do, of course, with books. And we are not a bookish culture anymore. One evidence of that is that we don't bring the Bible to church with us. You got a Bible, don't you? You got Bibles? Yeah. Amen? And okay, amen. All right. Enough said. I want to draw your attention this morning to an incident in the life of Jesus. You are familiar, I'm sure you are familiar, with some of the dramatic events in his life. He was a preacher, a teacher, a healer. He didn't have a local congregation. The whole countryside, its towns, its villages, its open fields, its streams, its lakes, were his pulpit. And wherever he went, people followed. At first, a small group, and then gradually, the crowds began to grow. And they followed him up and down the land. From to the north to the south, they followed him from the mountains to the sea. The young man, and he was a young man, early 30s. They followed him by the thousands. And oftentimes they brought their sick, their ailing. But he was offensive. He didn't intend to be, but what he said offended particularly the power brokers. The common people heard him gladly. But the power brokers, both religious and political, were gradually, increasingly upset with the young preacher. And they set about, both in private and in public, to discredit him if they could, and eventually to kill him when they couldn't. On one occasion, and this is recorded in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, Jesus is talking to a crowd of people just after he had talked to his disciples about prayer. They had come to him to say, Lord, John teaches his disciples how to pray. Would you teach us how to pray? And he said, yes, when you pray, pray like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, you know that prayer. It's a simple prayer, isn't it? Very simple, very direct, childlike, really. Our Father, who art in heaven, give us this day. Forgive our sins as we forgive others. It's a very simple prayer. It's related to God and it's related to one another. It's related to life itself. No pie-in-the-sky stuff here. They learned the simple formula, to be sure. And they prayed down through their years of life in different ways. But at the core of their praying, it was this, Our Father. After that, he healed a man who apparently was afflicted of a demon that kept him from speaking. Jesus cast out the demon. Hundreds of people were there. It was an astonishing sort of thing. And in the midst of what he had to say about that, in response to the criticism that he knew was in the crowd, a woman speaks out. She's not a heckler. She's not one of those persons in the crowd that wants to be seen and heard for 30 seconds to fade into nothingness. She was sincere, and she said out loud, she said, "Blessed is the woman who gave you birth, at whose breasts you were nurtured." And Jesus said, "Rather is the person who is blessed, who hears the word of God and obeys it." A strange remark. A strange remark. There are people, of course, down through the centuries that have built a whole religious life, a whole devotional life, on the blessedness of the mother of Jesus. It is interesting that Jesus never would subscribe to that. Jesus said, if you want to really be happy, the real happy person is the one who hears the word of God and does it. I was impressed with that, especially in the light of something I had read the other day from a noted television executive. You know, we have television executives who move their families to London, raise their kids in fine London schools, and commute back and forth every week to the United States to run their empires. And you folks and me, by watching their televised entities, make that possible. Multi-millionaires who don't give a fig about you and me, but they do know how to make a buck. Huh? And here's what the guy says. He's talking about young people, I think. Where'd I write it? It's here someplace. Listen to this. When you speak to kids, awesomeness TV, YouTube, all that jazz, when you speak to kids today, tell them, it's an amazing thing. When you speak to kids today, the number one thing they want is to be famous. And they don't even know for what. I thought of that. It's somewhat cynical. Somewhat cynical. And he laughs all the way to the bank off of what he thinks he knows about today's young people. All they want is 15 minutes of fame. Whoop-de-doo. And I tell you, folks, those of us who are a tad older, you'll forgive us, kind of think that's probably right. Maybe that, is that true? Could that be? All young people want, most of them today, thousands of them, check in on this guy's business. Watch his stuff. They're addicted to Freddie and his crowd. It's there. What is it? Is that your ambition? To be famous? Wow. And then I can say, as an old guy, I can say, I knew them once. They were in my, I preached to that kid once. Now she's riding a, wow, look at that car. Is that it? Is that what it's all about? You ask that of national and international leaders. What's that all about? What drives you? What makes you tick? What is it that animates you? What is it that defines who you are? We ask that of our own nation, particularly under stress. We ask that of our politicians, those who think they know what's best for us. What is it that makes us who we are, that makes us tick, that gives us some distinctiveness? Is it something we've earned? Is it something that we've inherited? What difference does it make that we are who we say we are to the rest of the world? Jesus summed it up like this, and I don't like it, but this is what he said. He said, this generation is an evil generation. It asks for a sign. What is he saying here? Brothers and sisters, I think he defines evil here differently than you and I sometimes think. I think what he is really saying is, this is a generation deeply committed to being entertained. They want signs and they want wonders. They want their religious leaders. They want their God to come down and dance to their music. Answer all their prayers, make them happy, make them wealthy, make them pretty, entertain them. That's what they want. That's a strange and peculiar definition of evil, isn't it? But you think about it carefully. I want you to think about it carefully this morning, particularly in the light of what Jesus then says about what it takes to be happy. God wants his people to be happy, to be blessed. He wants them to be prosperous. He wants them to grow and be happy, to be fulfilled, to be productive people. It's always been the case. Always be the case. Moses came to the people of Israel, and on the eve of their going into the promised land, he reminded them where they came from. And he said to them, God has dealt with you faithfully, and God has led you faithfully, and God has made sure that you could eat and that you were satisfied, that you had all that you needed for the journey. But he tested you. You were at times hungry, and there were times when you were confused and you wandered in the wilderness. God was testing you to see if in your hearts you knew what it really took to be truly blessed, and to teach you that mankind does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And there it is. So from the Old Testament through to the New, from Moses to Jesus, the message is pretty much the same. The blessed person is that person who hears the word of God and does it. Amen? I was in the shower the other day. I take a shower every month or two. And you know how you take showers so you can sing. The echo, you know, the sound, there's nothing quite like it. And so forth. So I was singing that old hymn, which if you're 42 and over, you'll probably remember. Amen? When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, he sends on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. That's it. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Ah, I love it. You did know it. I'm so pleased. Amen. Yeah. So I'm watching, I'm moving from the shower, I'm using the old towel in all the right places, and I'm singing, trust, and, you know, oh boy, my wife thinks I'm nuts. But every once in a while, a thought like that, a hymn like that, a worship song creeps into our heads in an unexpected sort of way to remind us of the values that are inherent in the scriptures, in the word of God. We hear the word of God. What does that mean? We hear it. We hear it. We don't see it. We hear it. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing. Hear the word of the Lord is the constant refrain throughout scriptures. The prophets, the teachers, the preachers. Jesus comes into human history and he says, hear the word of the Lord. Hear it. Blessed is the one who has ears to hear the word of God. My wife looked at me this morning. She looks at me every once in a while. And she's great. I've lived with that woman for 60 years, and she she still looks at me. Amen. She checks me out. She wants to make sure that everything I have on kind of works and that I'm presentable. Amen. And that was nice. But she won't let me out of the house. I got to look good. I got to smell good. Everything's got to be just right. She checks me out. She didn't stand at the door, but she checks me out, believe me. And this morning, she looked at me and she says, "Boy, that sure is a big Bible." Which is her way of asking me, "Why are you carrying such a big, heavy Bible?" Amen. What was my answer? My answer is, because I want them to see it. I have a smaller Bible. It's easier to carry. Certainly. I want them to see it. Why? Because they don't carry Bibles anymore. They don't see Bibles anymore. They read from their little gadgets all the time. That's what they do. They don't have a clue what this is. They don't bring them to church anymore. They wouldn't know where the Bible is at their house anymore if they got one. And even if they do, they don't read it. And if they don't read it, they don't do it. Amen? It's the truth. That's the truth. I look into the mirror and I say to that character I see there, "What in the world is God saying to you today? What is it that God expects you to do today in obedience to His word?" You sign up every morning, don't you? You listen to the word of God. You hear. You learn the disciplines, the spiritual disciplines of listening to the word of God with a view to honoring God by doing what He says. And we orient our whole lives around that. We go to school that way. We go to work that way. We get married that way. We raise our children that way. We live the Word of God. The Word of God saturates our very being. We are people of the Word of God. And that doesn't mean we just memorize it. It means we do it. We live by it. Now, Moses was right, as was Jesus. Moses said to the people, "Man does not live by bread alone," which means, of course, that we do need some bread. We do need some bread. That's why we work. That's why we hope to get jobs. That's why we trust God to help us to prosper, etc. We do need bread. Satan comes to Jesus in the temptation with the same pitch. He says to Jesus, "If you worship me," Jesus said, "Get lost. The human race does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." So the consistency throughout the scriptures is right there. Jesus lived like this. His disciples began to live like this, learned to live like this. It takes some doing. But they began to live like this, which is to say they began to trust the word of God, the God of the word. What the woman didn't know that day, and what you and I need to remember, is this. When Jesus says to her, "You are happy, and they are happy who hear the word of God and do it," what she didn't know that day and what he didn't tell her that day, but what the scriptures gradually open up to us, is that the one who spoke those words was himself the word. Jesus is the word made flesh, dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the only begotten of the Father, the word that was with God, the word that was God, the word, Jesus among us. We hear Jesus in the word, and we follow Jesus. We are his disciples. Wouldn't it be a strange thing in our time? Wouldn't it be a strange and awful thing in our time if we had Christians in churches, people in churches who call themselves Christians, who are not disciples of Jesus. And what would be the difference? The difference would be that there are people who believe in Jesus, who believe in the whole Christian idea, who have checked through the options and consider this to be the best of all, who come, perhaps who are even baptized, who tithe, who give, who are part of it, write checks for missions and all of that. And if you ask them, what is there about your life that indicates that you hear the word of God and that you are doing it? They wouldn't quite understand the question. They wouldn't understand the question. Why do you ask such a dumb question? Of course, we are Christians. I'm telling you from my own experience, maybe from yours, it's possible to believe this book, to quote it, to sing it, the whole smear of stuff, and not do it. Beware. I've come to you this morning to ask you to beware of taking this book lightly, of not respecting the Word of God enough to find out what it says, to find out what God requires of you as expressed in the book, and then to find grace to do it. We are a people of God because we are people of the book, and that enables us to be brothers and sisters. We help each other grow up, which is to say we help each other in our obedience to what Jesus tells us. Boy, that's a blessed community. That'd be worth being longing to. Amen? That's who you are. That's who we are. That's what it means to be the people of God in any place. Who honor the Word of God by honoring Jesus, the Word, by doing what He says. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. Amen? Our Father, we thank you for your word. A very simple word today. Nothing jazzy about this. Nothing easy about it either. We thank you for your son Jesus who came. We thank you for that woman who spoke so lovingly and passionately out of the crowd, who was right in what she had to say about the blessedness of the mother of Jesus and all of that. But we thank you for his response even more so. He told us what it really takes to be happy. We thank you, Father, that you want us to be happy, blessed, whole, rejoicing people, full of life. Oh, boy, we thank you for that. We ask your blessing upon us by your Spirit. Enable us to respect your word by hearing it and by doing it. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Amen.